The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I can't recall the last time that 4th of July fell on a Sunday. I just don't remember. It's been some time. I don't know when, but it's been a while. So we're going to continue our series, The Wars of the World. But this series is going to encapsulate the idea of our freedom on this 4th of July. We've been covering several topics, such as the war for truth, the war for thoughts, the war for the innocent and the helpless. Last week we spoke about the war for religion, and today we're going to address the issue of the war for freedom, the war for freedom. And we will answer the question, how do you preserve freedom? So as our text, the guys in the back are probably wondering where I am going, but our text for the series is Matthew chapter 24. Verses 6 through 8. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed, for such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for your word that is living and true. And Lord, as we discuss this war for freedom, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and enlighten our spirit and speak to our very minds that we might hear the things that you would say to us this morning. We know that you by your Spirit speak to the church. And so, Father, I ask that you would speak to us clearly and that we might hear and follow and heed the words that you would give us. And we pray these things together in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. So, the war for freedom is what we're discussing this morning. And for our text, we'll use Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I received an email from Jim Corbin last week, and he gave me this scripture. He said, I know that the 4th of July is coming up. You know, maybe you could do something about that and still continue our series. And I told him that that was a great idea, and that they taught me in seminary that all originality and no plagiarism makes for dull preaching. So I decided to plagiarize with Jim. That's it. I told him that I would give him recognition with very small asterisks and very small print.
I don't see my name.
He doesn't see his name up there. It's very small. Okay. But under the topic of freedom, our founding fathers, when they established this great nation, this United States of America, declared that we were independent and free. Hence the document, the Declaration. It was declared. They stood up bold and firm. We make this declaration. They weren't wimpy about it, and they knew that what they were doing was an outrage, according to England, and things that they were about to do. But I want you to know that freedom was not given to us by the Declaration of Independence. It is not our founding fathers to give. Freedom, which they said, was given to us by our Creator. It is God that gives us freedom. Not the United States, and you can declare from now the kingdom come, but if God had not established and written that we would be free, there would be no freedom. But what they did, the founding fathers, only recognized this is our right to be free. People around the world today are suffering, held in bondage. The lines are so long for people wanting to get into our nation. They want to be in this bastion of freedom. I saw last night it was a little news thing talking about John Stossel actually had it, about what's right about America. And they were interviewing some of the people who were coming to America. No longer are they the Europeans from Italy or from France or from Ireland or those countries, but the people who are coming in now are from Asian countries and Hispanic countries. And they interviewed a few of them, and they just said they wanted to be here in America because they could be Americans. They could be free. Someone very wise said that you can go all over the world. You can live in France forever or England forever, but you'll never be a Frenchman and you'll never be an Englishman. But you can come to America and you can be in America. We are the great experience, the great melting pot, and it is the kaleidoscope of our nationalities that makes us so great, that brings such color and such variety into who we are. We all, in many ways, enjoy our heritage, those of us who are relatively new to this nation. Some of you who are here for generation after generation after generation, like my wife, and she's just kind of a Heinz 57. She's not real sure really what she is, but she is an American. She's been here so long. There was a lady that I knew that she has since passed away, but she was here, and her family was here prior to the Civil War. It's a long time. She remembers her mother and her grandmother speaking about the Civil War because it had happened in their lifetimes. But the founding fathers just recognized that. This right to freedom has been given by God and secured by man. Given by God and secured by man. I want to read you a part of the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." That's a very key word, self-evident. Anyone and everyone should realize it. It's intuitive within us that we have a desire to be free. These things are self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, that is a word that Webster defines as not capable of being transferred to another. Not capable of being transferred to another. Certain unalienable rights, that among these are not the only ones, but that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It goes on further in the Declaration, and it says this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So it is the right, it is the responsibility, and it is the duty of government to preserve and to make sure that these God-given endowments, these unalienable rights, are allowed to flourish in a society. That is the role of government according to our founding fathers. Adam and Eve were set in the garden and given the right to govern their way of life. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture that will be up here on the overhead for you from the book of Genesis. And I just discovered this. I found it all by my lonesome. And I've added some words to it. Don't let that bother you. You know that I've added words to the Word of God, but it'll help you understand it. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. That's the freedom. God put him there free to work and to take care of it. Therein is the government. To work and to take care of what God had given him, the land that God had given him. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." There is a point that freedom can be taken away by evil. All right? So Adam was free to govern himself and the land that he had been entrusted with by God. But he was warned that if he tried to govern without God, he could lose that freedom. That is wrong with most of the nations of the world They have governed without God and have brought people into bondage. Our founding fathers recognized that this was happening right here on our shores, and they stood up and said no. They stood up and declared that they had a right to be free that had been given to them by God, and therefore they established this place called America. Now, I want us to look this morning at several things that will address this issue of us taking care of what God has given to us and preserving our freedom. So the first thing is that you acknowledge that God has entrusted freedom to you. And as soon as they're trying to get to it, but they won't. I want you to see Isaiah chapter 33, verses 21 through 24. Are the overheads not working? They're not working. Okay. Okay, good. The Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon. You notice the Lord, our mighty one, He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. By the way, this passage of Scripture was used. For the Lord is our judge, sets up to the judicial system in our government. The Lord is our lawgiver, which is the legislative branch of our government. And the Lord is our king, which is the executive branch of our government. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Our founding fathers did that. He will care for us and save us. The enemy's sails hang loose on broken masts with useless tackle. Their treasure will be divided by the people of God. Even the lame will take their share. The people of Israel, you could say the people of God, will no longer say, "We are sick and helpless," for the Lord will forgive their sins. There's a video that I want you to see right now. Jim, if you just show that video, why we celebrate freedom.
Heroes died for. Why we celebrate freedom. We all are born with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Each endowed by our Creator. The original intent for His creation.
Amen. Amen. God watches over His people. He endows them with freedom and enables them to fight for that freedom. Historically, when Israel went to war, one of two things happened. When they acknowledged God, they won. When they neglected God, they lost. Over and over again in the Scriptures, you'll see that to be true. America has acknowledged God from its very founding. That's not something that someone made up. That's not some preacher's idea. That's not some politician's idea. Those writings, those documents, those letters, those sermons, those preachers, those lives, those works of those men and women declared that they knew that God's sovereign hand was upon them to do something bigger than themselves. Pat and I were looking last night. There's a special on, or was a special last night, about John Adams. And if you've ever read any of John Adams or Abigail Adams' writings, they are just absolutely astounding. I'd encourage you to go on the internet and just find some and to read them. But there was a scene where John had been off at the Continental Congress, and he had finally came home, and the Declaration of Independence had been established and proclaimed. And she was so happy to have him home. And she said that of the last 14 years that we've been married, we've only been together for 7 of them, because he had been gone so much. And that night, as they were in bed, and she sensed something. And she said, "John, are you leaving again?" And she had her back to him, and he, in the candlelight of the moment, he said, "Yes." And she said, "Where are you going?" He says, "To France." And she said, "Well, what about me? What about the children? What about us?" And he was trying to find the words, which is so difficult when men have to leave family and home and possessions and security to do something greater than themselves. And tears were in his eyes. And he said, she said, "How long, John, will you be gone?" And he said, "I don't know." And we do know from history that when he went to France, he stayed there for, I believe it was like a year, before he got to get back home to the United States. But I told Pat as we watched that, I said, he saw something beyond himself. Something beyond the love of a wife, beyond the love of his children, something so big that he said that there were millions depending, unborn yet, who are depending on the things that we do this very day. And we sang one of those songs this morning, and one of the lines that says, "A patriot's dreams." Those who saw, we are so self-centered that we forget to see the greatness that we could be if we just allow God to use us and realize that God wants to use us. The same inspiration that was in the heart of John and Abigail Adams is in the hearts of men and women in the church this very day. And we need to stand up like they did and be willing to sacrifice in the sacrifice that they gave. America has never lost a war in its history. That's an astounding fact. Now, we have compromised and done some treaties that history would look back and say that we certainly didn't win, but we certainly didn't lose. Unfortunately, it seems like every time one of these treaties are done, that America has to go back and fight another war. But that's another story for another day. But America is in danger today because we have neglected God. America is in great danger. Not a little danger, but in great danger. I have lived long enough and seen enough to tell you this morning that our nation is in great danger. The war America is losing is on our own shores. Between the sea and shining sea. From the purple mountains, majesty. From the fields that white with grain. This bastion of freedom, we are losing wars today. We are losing the war of wealth. This rich nation, the richest nation ever known on the face of the earth in all of history, is being weakened day by day by outrageous borrowing and spending by our federal government. And there needs to be a stop to the faucet of wasteful spending in America. There will be nothing left at the rate we're going. We are now in the middle of $13 trillion worth of debt, federal debt. We are spending money as if there was no end to it. I am telling you, beloved, that if it doesn't stop, our nation will go into bankruptcy. We will live in an environment that no one before us has ever seen. Even in the Great Depression, the nation was still strong financially. And it was the strength of the nation and the wealth of the nation and the industrial power of our nation that got us out. We have given away our jobs. There are virtually no jobs left in America. They're around the world. There are people today listening to us over the internet that will attest to that. That they have jobs in foreign countries that we gave away. Think about it. What do we build anymore? There's no great industrial mechanism left to bring us out of a financial collapse. That's a fact. We are losing the war for our morality. The moral fiber of this nation has disappeared. The things that are said, the things that are done, from the pornography, from you can't watch a movie or a television program or a television commercial anymore. You can't even get a magazine. Pat got a magazine that came in the mail, and it was on our right in our area, right in the kitchen, or what do you call that thing, a little breakfast area. And the magazine was sitting there, and they had two women on it, and this one woman had a blouse down to her navel with her cleavage showing, and I didn't like it, so I flipped it over. Well, I don't know what happened, but I walked by the next day, and it was flipped back right side up. So I flipped it over again. Another day later, it was flipped back around. I finally got a marks a lot, and I just put clothes on that girl. It's not color coordinated, but there's no more cleavage on the magazine. Say, oh, now, Pastor, you're over the top. I am over the top because it's got to stop somewhere, and the church needs to take action to see that it stops. We need to be a vocal voice to stop these things. You women ought to do something about the clothes that you're being sold. There's young women today wearing clothes that they shouldn't be wearing. I say, oh, now you're meddling there, preacher. Well, you're doggone right. Somebody's got to meddle. I guarantee you, if you wear a low-cut blouse, ladies, every man, Christian man, has to deal with that. Because it is built within man to look. That's where God created that, to enjoy the beauty of a woman, of his wife. But when you dress that way, he's got to look at you, and then he's got to get his eyes away and ask God to help him not to look. And you wear skirts that are too short. That's the facts. Now some of you can say, well, you got to be politically correct and talk about the way men dress. That doesn't, that's, we're not even in the same league. It matters. And we're losing the war for morality. Our children are so confused about their own sexuality. This war is being lost, and we must do something about it. There is no other voice. than the voice of the believers in our nation. We're the only hope that that our country has when it comes to this morality issue. We are losing the war from our government. Corruption on every hand. We've got more politicians in jail than we have in office here in Louisiana. It seems that way. And I don't think they get a harsh enough punishment. They rob and steal and break their sacred vows that they take and steal money and do things for their own personal good. They ought to be put in jail for 50 years, not 5 years. Say, oh, well, now you're being harsh. Well, you're doggone right. It's time to get harsh. I'm disgusted with what goes on in Washington, D.C. And I'm not talking about the difference of opinion about the way things ought to be, but the fact that our government sponsors, pays for, endorses, and makes legal the murder of children is unacceptable. Some of you are saying, well, they're not killing kids, they're killing them in the womb. And that is murder. And our government endorses it. And we let it happen. We, the church, the pulpits, let it happen. They've taken away prayer out of our schools, out of our society. Every vestige of Christianity is being stripped away day by day, layer by layer, until there'll be nothing left. And our federal government allows it to happen. The church better stand up. We better get a voice. Some of you say, well, Pastor, you're talking about political things in the pulpit. It's about time somebody started doing it. It's time to do it. And I'm willing to stand up and do it. Our government's wrong. I'm going to tell you about it. When they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, I'm going to tell you about it. And if they take away our 501c tax deduction, well, so be it. We're losing the battle for our children. Look around. Look around this congregation. Where are our children? Where are our grandchildren? Playing ball today? On Sunday, perhaps? I tell you, it's one of my pet peeves. I think parents and grandparents better stand up against that. It's so late, but somebody needs to stand up and say, my kids won't play your sports on Sunday morning. You want to have a soccer game or a football game or a baseball game? You do it on Sunday afternoon. But on Sunday morning, my kids are going to be in church. Now, that's not very popular. Can't find any people with enough gumption to say no. But we better start saying no. We're going to start taking care of our children. I already told you, those children between the age of 25 and under, only 4% profess to be Christians. 4%! And they comprise a third of our nation. We are losing the war, and it's time for America to acknowledge God once again. And we need to stand up. You need to stand up. It's one thing for me to get in the pulpit. It's another thing for you to do it in the grocery store and in your home and in your neighborhood. And stand up for Christ. And use that name and say these things. And stop being so tolerant of everything. Time to be intolerant. And say, no! Not going to happen. We must acknowledge God or we will not have a free America. You think it can't happen? Go read your history books. It's happened before. Those who deny God fall and perish. And when our government turns its back on Israel, it brings havoc on this nation. The scriptures say those that bless Israel will be blessed and those that curse her will be cursed. And we are cursing Israel this day. We leave her standing alone against all of our enemies that have surrounded her. I think that's okay. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. But there are a lot of people looking at us on the internet that may not be part of the choir and they need to hear it too. say, oh, well, Israel is no more. Listen, Israel is the apple of God's eye.
That's right.
And we've been grafted in. We're just a part of it. We're adopted children. We've been brought in because God allowed us in. Jews and Gentiles together, blended together. God let us in. We hijacked their religion. If you want to look at it that way.
I hope not.
Second thing I want to talk about is that you acknowledge that you cannot stand without God. You acknowledge that you cannot stand without God. I want us to go back and look at Galatians 5:1 again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That is an interesting statement, is it not? It's for freedom that God has set us free. For the principle of freedom, God has made us free. In other words, freedom exists, so therefore, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. When's the last time you stood firm in your Christianity and in your freedom? When's the last time you took a stand? When's the last time you stood up like the founding fathers and said, no, this far no more? When's the last time that you were a patriot? A God-ordained, anointed patriot for our nation and for our Christ and for our church. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. There it is. You can be burdened and brought back into slavery. The slavery of the world, the slavery of the evil one, the slavery of this world system that will drag you down. I got a video that I want you to see that will highlight what we're going to address right now.
Ever wonder what happened to the man who signed the Declaration of Independence? I fought and died through the hardship. Many lost their homes and families, and in some cases, died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 5 were captured by the British marching before they died. They signed and pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. Freedom is not free. Of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our futures, and our sacred honor. The signers of the Declaration of Independence. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. Free.
Amen. 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 You acknowledge you cannot stand without God. We cannot stand without God. There's an old expression that says, united we stand and divided we fall. Someone else said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it's true. It's a truism. America's strength is in her unity. That is what has made us strong, and the fact that we have been a united heart and mind set upon Christ. That has been the pole upon which the ribbons of all of our lives have been attached. And that draws us together. Our common denominator has been our Christianity. It is not our nationality. It is not the color of our skin. It is not where we're from. The thing that has made us one is our dependence and recognition upon Christ, and we have stood together that way. No other nation, now I'm not a world traveler, but from what I've read, and I believe that I am absolutely right about this, that no other nation in the world will you go to and find as many churches as you find right here in America. We're just in our one little street right here. We ought to rename Robert Boulevard to Church Street. I mean, we got just pick your flavor down the road. I mean, we got everything. Now you might say, well, we don't need all those flavors. I'll tell you what, Jesus said this. On the fundamental things of Christ, We agree. Now, there are a lot of ancillary things that we might have our difference of opinions on, but I'm in fellowship with people on those little things as long as we hold true to Christ. And I know the men in the pulpits down the street, I know most of them, and I know that they believe in Christ and in Christ alone. The United States seal says E Pluribus Unum, which says out of many, one. It's on every dollar bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $1,000 bill that you have. You will find that. It's on the seal of the United States of America, out of many, one. That's what makes us strong. We stand together. But we stand together upon the Word of God. Our entire legal system is built upon the Word of God. We do not allow murder because the Scriptures say, you shall not kill. We don't allow people to steal because the Scriptures say, you shall not steal. We could go down the whole Libya thing. We live by the Scriptures. Our laws are set up that way. We have marriage in this country between a man and a woman. We will not stand for, nor will we tolerate, nor will we allow it to happen. As long as we stand together, the marriage of men to men and women to women. It is not in the Scriptures. It tears the very fiber of the fabric of society. Allow that to happen. Amen. Now that's the facts. And we need to stand up for those facts, and we need to stand together. One nation always under God has been what made us a Christian nation. Now, I know that the President of the United States today said that we are not a Christian nation. That's just one of the things that he's wrong about. There are others, but that's a big one. We are a Christian nation. Look around. If it wasn't for Christianity in our nation, we would be Lord knows where. We are. Now, I'll grant you that not everyone is doing everything that they should and following their our Christian faith, but by and large, we are a Christian nation, but we are a dying Christian nation because Christianity is wavering away. America's weakness is found in her division. I have never seen such division in this country as exists today. We have the red states and the blue states. Those who believe one thing and those who believe another. And are violent against each other about these things. That will bring us to our very knees. We're almost back to the days of the Civil War. We've almost gotten back to those stages right now with such hatred and such venom is being poured out by Americans against Americans. Religious tolerance. Religious tolerance, anything goes. From atheism to Satanism. Well, you have the right to believe that. Well, you got the right to believe it, but get out of my country. Yes. If you want to believe that, or come to the cross where we are. Say, oh, now you're talking about trying to have some kind of state religion. No, I'm trying to get back where we started from. Amen. This is America, founded upon Christ. And upon the principles that are found in the Word of God. And we must stand and hold those truths up. Amen. Come on, am I the only one?
No.
I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
Always, America has always been led by the church in biblical standards. Those of you who receive email, you got an email from me last night in the middle of the night sometime, would address it. The United States Supreme Court in the 1800s said, now, you know, we believe the Supreme Court about abortion. We believe it about gun control. We believe it all things. Supreme Court is the final word on everything, right? Well, the United States Supreme Court said that we are a Christian nation. That's what they said. Somebody blocked that one out, got some oxalot, and covered it up. That's what they said. How come we're not running? How come we're not hearing that said more often? I was so proud of our little town, our little Slidell. This past Thursday, our new mayor, Mayor Freddie Drennan. Lord, God bless that guy. He told his staff that he wanted to start his administration giving honor and glory to God. He got the pastors and the politicians in the same room at 8 o'clock in the morning for breakfast. That's a sight to behold. But he did it. They had more ministers uttering more prayers and praying for him and praying. Every member of the city council was there. The new chief of police was there. He and his wife sat at the same table I was at. I was so impressed that he got to sit with me. Then I got to sit with him. Got to talk to he and his wife. And the morning started off with earnest intercession and prayer and blessings for our community. And then at 4 o'clock, had another meeting, the pre-inaugural prayer meeting. We had the breakfast prayer meeting and the pre-inaugural prayer meeting. And we met again, but there were more of us this time. Some of them didn't get up early. You know, more of us gathered together, singing hymns, declaring God over our town, and believing the Word of God, prayers and intercession given for our mayor, our city council, our chief of police, all of our elected officials, for our community. It was awesome to be there. I mean, it was great. And then we went to the inauguration, and the chaplain of the Slidell Police Department gave the invocation. And he said, "Our Heavenly Father, or by whatever other name that people may want to call you, you know, we join together in prayer." And I didn't do it, but I should have stood up and said, "No, there's only one name given among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus, and it's in His name we pray." That was the only black mark on the day, but I was so happy about the other things, I just let it slide. And I noticed our mayor got a Bible. When he took the oath of office, he put his hand on the Bible and said he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and of the state of Louisiana and the ordinances of our community. Man, it was a sight to see. It gives me hope. One man can make a difference. Our former mayor didn't do that. We tried for years to try to have a prayer minister's prayer breakfast in our community, and our former mayor wouldn't let us do it. He just refused to do it. But this mayor said publicly at that meeting, he told the organizers who helped me put it together, he said, "We ought to make this an annual event. The first of July every year, we will have a minister's prayer breakfast here in our community." Mayor's prayer breakfast. Thank you. I'll get it right. The mayor's prayer breakfast. Hallelujah. There is hope. Unity will exist again when America rallies around the cross. Not around the flag, but around the cross. Okay, the third thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is that you acknowledge it's in God. You must trust. Look at Psalms 127:1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." One last video I want you to see.
America. Does God love America more than other nations? Of course not. He loves all the same. Are all Americans Christians? Sadly, no. Has God played an important role in the life of America? Absolutely. The pilgrims came to America in search of religious freedom, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Ben Franklin addressing the Continental Congress. "We have been assured in the holy writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this." John Adams wrote his wife, "The 4th of July ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." George Washington placed his hand on the Bible during his inauguration and proclaimed, "So help me God." Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow." Let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking His blessing and His help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. John F. Kennedy. Ronald Reagan said, "As we raise our voices to God, who is the author of this most tender music, and may He continue to hold us close as we fill the world with our sound." Sound in unity, affection, and love. One people under God, dedicated to the dream of freedom that He has placed in the human heart. Today, many struggle due to job loss, illness, broken relationships, fear, loneliness. May we never forget that we have a God who loves us and promises always to walk beside us. "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:20. May God continue to play an important role in the American experience. And may we always put Him first in our hearts and lives as we seek to do His will. America, in God we trust. Hallelujah. Amen.
In God we trust. If I had my way, we would change it to "God we must trust." I believe that God has built our house, but it's time to restore it to its former glory. The windows need to be fixed. The sashes need to be replaced. The carpet needs to be redone. The lights need to be changed. We need to get it back to where it was. Now, I know that that sounds so impossible. How could we do it? We cannot do it, but God Almighty can do it. Amen. It is in Him that we trust, and He that builds the house, not us. We don't rebuild it with stained glass windows, but we rebuild it with tear-stained floors, where we get up on our knees and pray and intercede and ask God to be with us. I've asked my wife to begin to hand out two pieces of paper right now, if she would do that, and she's probably going to need a little help. I want each one of you to have these two pieces of paper, all right? The vision embedded in the hearts of our founders was Christ and freedom. They did not see this as separate things. Don't read it right now, okay? I know it's going to be hard for you to do, but don't read it right now. I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. They believed in what our founding fathers wrote about on many different occasions, a shining city on a hill. They believed that's who we are. Ronald Reagan picked up on that as he was in office and talked about this shining city on a hill. They built it together, trusting God. They went through hunger and thirst. Read about the hardships of the pilgrims who first came to this land and what they suffered to hack out of the wilderness a nation. They went through birth and death. Go look at the old cemeteries when you can find them and see how many children lay dead in those cemeteries. Died at 6 months or 3 months or 4 months or 1 year. There was a great hardship on the young and on the old. People didn't live to the ripe old age that we live today. They died young because life was hard, but they believed something was in them. They trusted God. And when they had no food, they believed God would supply for them. When they were hungry, God would show up. In fact, the Indians showed them how to plant food and make it grow here in
the founding fathers.
And boy, it's coming back again. There we go. They got it shut off. I don't take competition when I preach. I'm loud enough. They went through horrible heat, cold. You know, we get cold, we just crank the furnace up. We get hot, we just turn the air conditioners down. They went through heat and cold and died from it. Literally died for it. Read about our army, the Continental Army, that went to Valley Forge. Do you know about Valley Forge? Do you know what that was? Do you know what took place there? Do you know that it was where the Continental Army, led by Washington, was so ragtag that they said there was a bloody trail in the snow and ice that led to Valley Forge, because our army had, most for the most part, no shoes, no coats, thin blankets wrapped around them, no food, no medicine. They had nothing but a dream that this nation could be free. And they paid a great price for it. And they suffered that entire winter in Valley Forge. One of the most horrible things that ever happened. But built in them was a steel fiber that was given to them by God, that when they came out of Valley Forge, they still didn't have all the equipment they needed. They still didn't have all the armament they needed. But they had within their breasts a vision that this nation could be free, built upon the principles of God. And they fought and gave their lives, and they won the victory that you and I celebrate today. Thank God for those men and women who suffered so very much that we could be free here today. This is no easy freedom. There was a great price. You have a responsibility as an American citizen to hold that truth up and let the world know that those men did what they did, not with guns and ammo, but with the beat of God in their hearts. That's what fired them up. That's what made them go on. That's what made men like George Washington, who was caught one day in the woods by himself with his horse tethered near him, on his knees, praying at Valley Forge for God to deliver them out of the trouble and give them victory. And so he did. God answered the prayers of George Washington. And those who say that he was a deist need to go read the writings of George Washington, who gave glory to Christ who saved his soul. Don't believe this modern poppycock that's been put out. Go look for yourself. There's no reason for you today not to know these things as fact. You have a computer, just look it up on the internet. Go, if you don't have a computer, go to the library and read it in the book. These truths have been held back from American people today. And we don't know the price that was paid for us to be free. They held the banner of Christ, the banner of the church, and the banner of America high. It was a trinity, if you will, of Christ, the church, and America. I'm giving you some handouts. And I just got this last night. The one very colorful thing that's got in America is a place where you can sign up to pray, to agree to pray for America from July 4th until November the 2nd. It's 140 days. I heard it first last night. We were looking at Charles Stanley, and he brought it up. And I thought, well, that's a great idea, but I just really didn't feel overly pushed by it. And then I went and got on my computer, and Jim, I believe, had sent me something. He had seen my newsletter that I put out, and he said, you ought to go look at this website. And I went there, and I saw this, where we can pray. Now, here's what I'll do for you. There's a place, this is just a copy of the screen that's on the internet. You can go to this website, and if you look at the very top, is that the left-hand corner? Yeah, the top left-hand corner. It's hard for me to tell that I only have a right arm. Sometimes I get confused about which right and left. I sort of have two right arms. So up at the top is the website. You can go there and you can register. And they will send you some emails and keep in touch with you throughout this 140 days. If you don't want to do that, if you don't have a computer, if you will print very neatly, so I can read it, the pertinent information, I will register you, okay? I will do that for you. So, just make sure that you get back to me before you leave out here today. Now, the other thing that you have is what they are providing. One of the things is a prayer card for July. These are some praying points, if you will, that you can pray. And so your agreement is that you will pray every day for America. Listen, beloved, if those people who preceded us suffered so very much for us. Could we not pray? Could we not take just a few moments each day for the next 140 days and pray? What would happen? What would happen if everyone caught the vision in America? What if every Christian caught the vision? I sent this out to everybody I know. I've to try to get it out as quickly as I can since it starts today, to pray every day for America and use these little talking points. If you so desire, if you will let me know that you've signed up and you send me a little note by the email, if I decide to put out any information myself to help you along the way, I'll be glad to communicate something to you, okay? So just send me an email and say I've signed up for it, and then I'll send you some stuff that I'll do myself, okay? So I really encourage you to do that. There was a little incident that took place here in America that I think really shows some of the things that the fiber of some of the people here in America, that it's not a complete loss. There was a restaurant someplace, I believe it was in the middle of the country somewhere. It was a Mexican restaurant, and this is not an indictment against the Mexican people, so don't take it that way. But it was a Mexican restaurant, and they had raised the Mexican flag and the American flag over their building. But they put the Mexican flag on top of the American flag, which is illegal. No policemen stopped them. No politician said a word. And some news organization in that community caught it, and they ran it in the local news. Well, one of the veterans of that community got his army knife, went down there, they got a video of it, it's on YouTube, cut that flag down, took the American flag, left the other flag laying on the sidewalk, and marched away. And the owners of the restaurant were looking like they were going to, what is this guy doing? And the guy who cut it down, the veteran who cut it down, he says, I've got the flag, I dare him to come get it from me. And he walked off. You know, it may take some of that again. He was doing what was legal. He didn't go ask for any help. He didn't go solicit a politician. He didn't get a survey. He didn't try to find out what the poll of the people might be. He didn't go ask for anybody else to do it. He just did what needed to be done. And you got to admire. The founding fathers stood in their graves and applauded that. He did what needed to be done. You know the sad part about that? Let me tell you a little story about the temple of America. They have a video on YouTube with a baby laughing. Millions of people have watched that video. You know how many people watched the video I just told you about? 1,800. On YouTube, that's virtually nothing. If you want to find it, go to YouTube, put in the keywords, Mexican and American flag or something like that, and you'll find it and you can watch it. I was going to show it today, but poor Jim, I already had him doing so many other things, I just couldn't give him another burden to do. The question is, as we close, when will you stand up? When will you finally get off your duff and do something? The time for talk is over. It's time to stand up and do what needs to be done.
The Hair Trigger Shooter Game for Wii is here.
Oh, it's done.
Master your attack. Shoot with pinpoint accuracy.
You can take this, by the way, if someone on the internet.
Dominate with your skills. And show everyone who's boss. Sin and Punishment. Star Successor. Rated T for Teen. Now available only on Wii. Get the Wii console with Port and now Wii Sports Resort for $199.99.
Okay, here we go.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Joe Hart.
And I'm Shelby Sheehan. This afternoon, we received a call from a viewer who said a business near downtown Reno was flying a Mexican flag above an American flag, which, in fact, is illegal.
This after photos and comments about the flag were posted on Craigslist as early as 11:30 this morning. When we were able to have a photographer go and check everything out, we found the story to be true. It also didn't take long before the situation provoked a strong reaction. We're now going to show you, unedited, just what happened.
What happened? Right here. That is what happened, right there. I'm Jim Brossard, and I took this flag down in honor of my country with a flag, with a knife from the United States Army. I'm a veteran. I'm not going to see this done to my country. If they want to fight us, then they need to be men, and they need to come and fight us. But I want somebody to fight me for this flag. They're not going to get it back.
Woo!
All right, guys. So what do you think of that? No comment? What do you think of that? What are you trying to accomplish, at least? Anything?
Well, I'm glad you got to see it, all right? Tell everybody you know to go look at it, all right? It's on YouTube. You know, that's where we are. We need to stand up for what is right, okay? So speaking of standing up, as we close, let's all stand. You preserve freedom when you acknowledge that God has entrusted it to you, that we must stand together, and that it's in God we trust. God, we must trust. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus the Lord for doing in the hearts and minds of men and women who have gone before us this truth that you truly set men free. It is for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Free from not just physical tyranny, but free from sin, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be redeemed, we could be washed, we could join that great community of believers. And we thank you for that freedom that transcends all other freedom. But Lord, you've made us stewards, not only of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also here in America as stewards of the freedom that has been given to us. Lord, let us be good stewards of that. Lord, let us, especially on this 4th of July, as we commemorate that 1776 Declaration of Independence, let us declare ourselves independent from our own personal slavery. Though we've enslaved ourselves with silence and inaction, Lord, let us declare our own independence from the tolerance and the mentality. Let us declare our own independence from evil of every kind. Lord, let us declare our own independence and stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ, for the Church of Jesus Christ, for the America that was established on your name. Father, let it happen in our lives, in our hearts. Let us go out of these doors. Let us go off wherever we are. If we're all watching over the internet, let us tell everyone we know that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that America is blessed by God. Let it be done, Father, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Let me remind you next week, the Lord willing, that we will continue the series with the War for Souls. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll be looking at A Nation Adrift. Thursday night, Malcolm Smith. Go eat a hot dog, a hamburger, and enjoy a wonderful day. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.